about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, good. You're here. You'll have to excuse me, though. I was just listening to the theme song for Family Matters for inspiration.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
A new report from the National Health Institute finds most Americans get the majority of their exercise while drunk. Activities like stumbling from one bar to another constituted the most aerobic activity most Americans performed in an average week. Health expert Dr. Jeffrey Atka has the health post.
Thanks, Andrea. The study's findings are clear. Drinking to excess is now one of the most healthy activities Americans regularly do. Hoisting friends into the air in overly enthusiastic hugs, gesticulating wildly while telling stories, and chasing crying girlfriends down the street burns far more calories than most sober activities. Dr. Will Garvin devised the study after consuming half a handle of Captain Morgan rum in 2006.
I wrote the research proposal that very same night, and then my colleagues and I went and knocked over a statue.
And now,
that's what I do. I drink and I know things.
Our feature presentation.
It's the best diet ever.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 16th of May.
Hey, we're giving away more tickets for the Weenie Rose. Now, be sure to call in, win your way in.
It's already over. That was Saturday.
Stage. What?
That was Saturday.
This past Saturday?
Yes.
You were there.
You were there.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. It's all a blur. Hey, Allie, what's this about you and Matt Skiba from Blink-182 being engaged?
I mean, we're betrothed in darkness.
I hear it got very serious very quickly.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I gave him a Darth Vader ring. And you
right,
know,
I remember, yeah.
You know, for me, that means it's serious.
Lifetime commitment, yeah.
I mean,
does
we
he
have,
know that?
No, I mean, we haven't talked since.
I see.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say we won't. So it's just kind of an understood
So this
commitment.
Isn't an update where he saw you Saturday and you rushed into each other's arms and reconfirmed your love for one another.
No.
None of that happened.
No.
So this is just another relationship in your mind.
Oh, no, totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's clear on that.
Yeah, I'm absolutely clear on that.
Oh, I wasn't sure about that. I thought there was an update and it really was true love now. But
oh, no. I mean, we hugged and it felt real good. I might have held on too long like okay. I do, but it's fine.
Okay.
It's cool.
Okay.
I love
hey,
that.
Hey, speaking of the ladies, we have to talk about your friend. Do you know Liberty Chandler? Is she friends with, are you friends with her? Was she working at Channel 5 when you were there,
Allie? She was there.
She was. You friends with her?
No.
Her name is spelled Liberté, but everybody seems to call her Liberty. Which does she prefer? Do you know?
Her name is Liberty.
Liberty. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she's doing the why do I hear iciness in your voice? Are you not are we no fan of Miss Chan?
Oh, I'm no fan of the station, but please proceed.
Okay. So by now many people have seen this clip. It went viral pretty fast, but she's doing the weather on Saturday morning. Did you see it, Kevin?
No.
She's their meteorologist, smart lady, doing the weather, and in the middle of her weather report, somebody, one of her co-anchors, hands her a sweater and asks her to cover up while she's doing the weather.
Yeah.
Okay? She's wearing a dress, and before I play this clip of what happened, Allie, you're probably better at describing the dress to me. Not at all revealing, right?
Not revealing. I think the whole thing was it had sparkly things on it and looked more like a cocktail dress than something you'd wear on the air. But there was in no way, shape, or form was it too revealing for the news. And let's be honest, too revealing for the news?
Yeah.
There's no such thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in no way inappropriate. It's a dress that would be fine to wear to any event.
Right.
I mean, she does have bare shoulders, but there's no cleavage whatsoever, which when I first heard the report, I was hoping for too much cleavage.
Sure.
I thought that was what it was. Her boobs are going to fall out, but it was nothing like that.
And he turned it off.
So she's doing the weather, and as I mentioned, from off camera comes her coworker with a sweater.
Even into tomorrow. What's going on? You want me to put this on? Why? Because it's cold?
I'm getting a lot of emails.
What?
There you go.
Really?
There you go.
Okay.
That's nice.
I look like a librarian now. I need...
That works.
So apparently people started furiously emailing Channel 5 saying how inappropriate this dress was. You shouldn't be wearing something like that. It looks like she came in after a night of partying. And they were really, like, piling on her.
I'd like to see how many emails there were.
I guarantee there were maybe three, and this anchor likes to stir crap, Chris Burrows. So he picks on her on a regular. Picks on her hair, picks on her dress, picks on everything.
Now, I'm glad to hear you say that, Allie, because mm-hmm. that makes it sound like it wasn't because they were bending to a couple of idiots who wrote in to complain about the ladies' news. He was just trying to have fun with his coworker.
I believe that's what they'll go with.
Mm-hmm.
But some of what is said is very inappropriate.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like there's more to this story than we're going to get from it.
There is. I'll tell you up there.
But, I mean, who would sit down and write a complaint letter because of the
really?
Lady wearing this nice dress on the news?
Oh. You do not know news viewers.
Really?
These people are some of the most ridiculous. If your hair is back, did you wake up too late? Oh, you couldn't get your hair done in time? That lipstick looks horrible. You're a whore. I see your top button unbuttoned. People are insane. And here's the thing with what happened with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
He just gave credence to all those people.
Yes,
all those people now think, I can change something in an instant
because
I complained.
Yeah.
Screw you, Chris Burrows, is what I'm saying with this whole thing.
I agree with you 100%, by the way. And I also thought it was incredibly inappropriate to do it on the air.
Yeah.
Even if there was somebody who thought, hey, you know what, this dress is too racy or whatever, which this wasn't at all.
No.
They should have handled that in the commercial break.
It was ugly all around. And she looked stung by it. And I know that they joke a lot on the air.
It took her a while to even get her head around.
Absolutely.
What are you talking about?
It was just gross.
And by the way, again, to Liberty's credit, is it wasn't like that was her intention was to even wear that dress. Not that there was anything wrong with the dress, but she had worn another dress earlier and it didn't do well with the green screen.
Yeah,
I guess.
It was keying out or something.
Yeah,
so.
Some sort of conflict. So she had a backup dress and she put it on and she looked fine and that should have been the end of it. But I just look. Women shouldn't have jobs. We all agree to that, right?
What? No, I don't think that's
what we're saying at all.
That's not the takeaway?
Not even a little bit.
But I will say I'm 100% Team Liberty on this. That was insane that they made her do that. And shame on Channel 5 for handling it that way.
Right?
I don't think you'll find many people that don't agree with that. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You make me physically sick to my stomach, and I wish that you would get a heart attack.
That's so harsh.
We're going to recap Weenie Rose for you. Why is Allie trying to kill our listeners? That's coming up.
That's
just after 6.
Not true.
Well, we'll talk about it because I feel like maybe it is true.
Okay. There are a lot of ambulances leaving the Weenie Roast on Saturday this year.
Comedian Bob Saget in studio today.
Yeah.
Always happy to have him in. We have Harvey Levin on Mondays like we do with TMZ.com. And Donald Trump, I don't know if you've heard this audio or not, but Donald Trump in the, was it 91, 1991, 92?
I think around then, yeah.
Did an interview as his own PR guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's answering the questions as if he's not Donald Trump, but he's actually his own PR guy.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
Right.
Yeah, and he's just basically talking about himself in the third person, about how smart he is and how handsome he is.
It is nuts.
I love it.
How every actress in Hollywood wants to date him, and he just goes on and on and on. And it's him.
Yeah.
And now he's saying it's not him.
It's awesome.
So
we'll play that for you coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, the Showbiz Beat is next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
By the way, Kevin, did you mention we're giving away Blink 182 tickets for their show with Day to Remember an all-time low?
I did not.
Did you mention that we're giving away tickets to see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl?
Funny you would say that because I didn't do that either.
Okay, well, we have that as well. In addition to Ralph's going to have Alice through the Looking Glass tickets.
I did not mention that earlier.
I'm saying we got Galaxy tickets.
I did mention that.
Yeah,
okay,
you
got
that
up
earlier.
So,
yes.
All right, I'm just saying there's a lot going on.
Well, the show doesn't start till 6, so we're good.
Yeah,
right.
We're fine.
We're
good.
I'm glad we get all this stuff out of the way before we go live. Why not our first run-through of the Showbiz Beat now here on a Monday morning? Here's our good friend Ralph Guerra.
This is just a warm-up Showbiz Beat. This isn't the actual Showbiz Beat. We start after 6 o'clock.
Just work out some material.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
I'm working on my new Captain America chunk. We'll see how the audience reacts. Speaking of Cap, once again, a big weekend for Captain America Civil War. Number one at the box office this weekend, $72.6 million.
Oh, my God.
Made it number one. I think I read... over the weekend. It just passed, I don't know, $800 million worldwide or something.
Wow.
Just rocketing towards $1 billion. Can't get there fast enough. Jungle Book did pretty well, too. $17.8 million made it number two. And Money Monster, the new George Clooney film, debuted to $15 million. The Darkness, $5.2 million in its debut, made that number four. Mother's Day was fifth. Zootopia, The Huntsman, Winter's War. Seventh, Keanu, Barbershop, The Next Cut, and The Boss. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movie news, finally, they're getting around to making a movie about the legendary rivalry between John McEnroe and Bjorn Borg.
Oh, been waiting for this.
Right? Shia LaBeouf has been announced to play John McEnroe in the upcoming movie.
And Gary Busey?
No. Sverre Gunnarsson will be playing Bjorn Borg. Sverre Gunnarsson.
Mm-hmm. And they played tennis?
They did indeed, Kevin. You know, we've got like a three upcoming Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs movies going on. Now this, where did the memo come from that said tennis? We need more tennis movies. What's the next big thing? What's the trend board say? Let's see, 2016. Tennis! Tennis is going to be the big thing. Quick, push our tennis projects into production.
I liked that that Wimbledon movie. The one with Paul Bettany. Remember that one from a couple years ago?
No!
Not even a little bit.
Was it about tennis?
Yes,
Then I did not see it.
And didn't Woody Allen have a Wimbledon movie, too? Didn't he do one?
Sit down.
What's happening?
What's wrong with you?
I'm with Donald on this one.
The only good tennis movie was the Andy Samberg parody one that they just did.
Didn't see that either. Yes, I know the one you mean. It was on HBO.
Yes. That was funny, if I could remember the name.
All right.
Well, this will be the serious drama.
Oh, no.
Between Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe's longstanding battle for supremacy in the tennis world, says the press release.
All right.
The pair met 14 times on the regular tour and 22 times in total. The rivalry was described as fire and ice because of McEnroe's famous tantrums and Borg's cool as a cucumber personality. Stop it.
I haven't seen much of Bjorn Borg since he retired.
I will take you out.
Seriously.
I will take you out. I will end you.
When the show starts at 6, we're not going to do this much on tennis movies, right?
I wonder what he's been up to.
Stop it. I beg you.
Ralph, I don't think you can. Honestly, I don't think you can.
I heard you guys talking about that poor lady who was handed a sweater during her live weathercast on Channel 5.
Shameful, right, Ralph?
It was an embarrassment. Almost as much as an embarrassment of CBS, which did not pick up a pilot for the updated version of Nancy Drew, set to star our beloved Sarah Shahi. Not because it wasn't apparently any good. Apparently it was quite good. And not because people didn't like it, because apparently it tested through the roof. But CBS said that it was just too feminine for their network. It appealed to women just too much.
Unbelievable.
It's too female.
I don't know why.
It was too female. You know that TV show we made with that female lead, with the actress playing the lead about the female character? It was very female.
Too much lady.
I wish there had been more man in it. Well, don't make Nancy Drew then. Make Carl Drew.
It's the strangest thing ever.
Make Steve Drew.
Why Carl?
I don't know. Carl. It's Nancy Drew. It's a show about a woman.
Yeah.
And you have a very powerful, talented, high-profile, lovely actress starring in it. You want to showcase her gifts. How do you reject it afterwards by saying it's too female?
I don't get that at
madness.
All.
Are we to believe that they... I mean, look, the only reason they put anything on the air is because they want to attract an audience to sell to advertisers.
Right.
Do they still think that women don't have money to spend?
Yeah, we buy a lot of tampons.
Right?
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 Mascara?
I'm saying.
Hair color?
Lady right. stuff.
Mascara?
Bring on the douche.
There must be some...
We were all having fun.
Really?
So right then.
We named so many sponsors.
Sit down.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you were calling to the other room.
You're asking Beer Mug to come in.
I thought you were asking a member of our staff to help you out.
No, that's a shame.
It's dumb. It's stupid.
It's way dumb.
It's ridiculous. It's not tennis movie dumb, but it's pretty dumb.
Wow.
That's all I'm saying. I haven't seen much of John McEnroe lately.
No, him I see. It's Bjorn Borg.
Oh, who's Bjorn Borg.
Yeah, lay it low.
Of course. Oh, him I see. I can't turn on my television without John McEnroe being all over it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Danny Mother-Lovin' Trejo.
I drove past his taco place.
That's a great story.
Trejo's Tacos yesterday. At like 3 p.m., the line was wrapped around the building.
Machete.
Were they closed?
Machete.
No, it was open.
Were they closed?
Well, I just wonder why there are so many people waiting.
They were excited.
The patio
about the
was
food?
Packed and the line was wrapped around. It was insane.
The tacos are in high demand, I believe she's saying, B.
Yeah.
Machete.
Machete. Mm-hmm.
This is Machete.
Machete.
He's the best.
He's Machete.
I love him.
Machete.
This is Machete.
Hey, Machete.
Okay.
Chris Novoselic's 51 years old today. Janet Jackson.
Who?
She is for real, and she is 50 years old today. David Boreanaz. Bones. Also Angel. Huge Flyers fan. He and I go back and forth constantly tweeting about the Flyers when they're playing, which is no longer.
Remember that?
Yep.
We all had teams that were playing.
Fun. Those were good times.
Oh, so good.
He's 47 years old today. Jason Acuna. Wee Man, you know him. He's 43. Megan Fox turns 30 years old today. And Pierce Brosnan, former James Bond, former Remington Steele. Pierce Brosnan is 63 years old today. Pierce Brosnan. Yes. Does that a lot when he acts. I don't know why. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Woo!
It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:07.
Speaking of Weezer,
yeah,
by the way,
how great were they?
Well, they're always great. I love them so much. But interesting tidbit: Cat Corbett interviewed the band before their set at the K Rock Weenie Roast on Saturday night, and said, "Hey, what are you guys doing with your off time right now? I know you're on tour right now, but when you have some free time, what do you do?" Rivers Cuomo is taking algebra courses online. That's what he's doing right now.
You don't want to get rusty.
Right.
And she said, why are you doing that? You went to Harvard, for God's sakes. And he said, there's no math requirement at Harvard.
Oh,
huh.
I should have gone to Harvard.
A surprise. So that's what he's doing with his spare time is algebra.
There's no math requirement at Harvard.
That's what Rivers told Kat. I don't know enough to source it, but
they must teach some sort of math at Harvard.
I would assume, right?
They have like science people come out of there,
right? But maybe it's not required as it is at some schools for all students to take math.
Yeah, like a core curriculum.
Right. Yeah. Maybe you can take it if you want.
Harvard's
but
dumb, right?
Harvard is dumb. Yeah, but anyway, so that's what super smart Rivers Cuomo is doing, and they were, as Ralph mentioned, amazing and really stepped up that night when that we had a little extra time to fill at the end of the evening.
Yeah. Which was a surprise to everybody.
It's work, Kevin.
So let's get that out of the way first, Kevin, because you were kind of right in the thick of it with the Red Hot Chili Peppers backstage. I ran into Chad a few minutes before that, and he was in a great mood, and he was happy and excited to be there, and they looked like they were all on the same page or going out there and rocking like they do.
Yeah, I was backstage, and I saw Flea, and he looked really worried. So I went over and was like, Flea, all right? And he's like, no.
Because someone stole his shirt, right?
No, he just takes off his shirt. He doesn't wear a shirt very much. So I said, what's going on? He said, Anthony's on the way to the hospital. And I said, really?
You said, that can't be right. You guys are going on stage soon.
But the band's supposed to play, so that can't be true. Right. No, but he was really, really upset. And it was, first it was about Anthony.
Sure.
First, you know, we hope he's going to be okay and the doctors take care of the issue and then everything will be fine. But then you can't imagine the pressure and the pain that he felt about having to cancel on all those people.
Yeah.
Like, that must be really difficult.
Oh, yeah.
When you have 18,000 fans.
Right.
Yeah. They're all there to see you. It makes it so much worse when you can't play.
Yeah.
And he was so just heartbroken. And we were like, what do we do? What's going to happen? This is during, I think, Empire of the Sun, just before Weezer.
Mm-hmm. Did he give you any indication that this was an ongoing medical condition with Anthony? Or is it just like he was fine and then all of a sudden out of nowhere he started getting that big stomach pain?
He told me that Anthony hadn't eaten anything in 24 hours because he didn't want to make whatever it was worse.
Okay.
He was going to play. He said they played through so many problems, so much sickness. You know, in 30 years they canceled a handful of shows. That's right. It. They just don't cancel them. So he was just beside himself. So I was like, you know what? we're going to have to go out before Weezer and explain. I don't want to, you know, after Weezer, go out and go, hey, everybody.
Thanks for coming.
Hey, we forgot somebody. Red Hot Chili Peppers, not going to be here.
Okay, drive safe.
So,
and then run.
Right. So then Flea was like, yeah, I'll go out with you and I'll apologize, which I thought was really cool of him to do because he didn't have to do that. So this
right, because people are going to hate you for the bad news, but no one's going to hate Flea for the
right, exactly. So this is, I think, from TMZ. Is that where we got the audio of Flea talking to the crowd and just saying how much he is sorry that he didn't get to play?
We are devastated about it. We're really sad. We love you so much. We live to rock. We live to dig deep into the depths of our hearts and rock. But unfortunately, there's a medical thing that happened, and he needed to deal with it. So we're unable to play tonight. We will be playing for you very soon, and we will play for you like the feral animals full of love that we are. And we're so sorry.
So who went to Weezer and worked out the deal to have them come back out and do another set, basically?
I don't know. It wasn't me, but I don't know. I mean, that was part of the problem was Weezer wasn't really ready to go quite yet.
Right.
And then they were told that maybe they could go longer. Uh-huh. Maybe you want to play more?
Hey, you know all those hits you guys have?
Song?
We love them all!
Maybe a little bit longer? So that was a little rough, and thanks to them for doing that.
Absolutely.
And that's amazing. But I got to tell you, for everybody that was, you know, angry at us, which I don't even get, but Flea was doing...
We paid our money! I love those people.
Right.
We paid our money for tickets. We thought it was going to be Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, we all did. He got sick.
Right.
You get that part, right?
He went to the hospital.
Yeah. We didn't turn him away and say, your services are no longer needed.
You know what?
We had a perfectly good day.
We don't need you guys. Thanks.
We're all full up with rock and roll. Thanks. But I will tell you this. Backstage, Flea was doing nothing but talking about making it up. We got to do a show.
Know,
we need
felt so bad.
He spent the entire time really upset and really, this is a band that will make it good. Not that they need to, but they will. They'll make it good for the fans.
Well,
and
they've
that
got
kind
nothing
of
to apologize for when something like that, I mean, obviously, that's the only thing that matters is get that boy to the hospital and find out what's wrong with him. The good news is Chili Peppers did tweet yesterday that he is expected to make a full recovery. So that's really good news. So I don't know what it was, but it looks like they solved it. Ali, you were saying earlier that, and Chip as well, that Blink-182 was unbelievable for folks who didn't hear. Mm. They were a surprise act. The stage turned and there they were.
I feel like they were better than they've ever been.
They got a new life in that band right now, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, they're having a good time.
They
but
sound
not
great.
not enough confetti, though. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, a little more was needed.
A little light on the confetti.
There were confetti cannons that went off, and then the wind worked right against Mark Hoppus, and it just all blew right into his mouth.
Yeah.
He's pooping confetti today, I guarantee.
And I heard more than one person.
That might be
their
new single, by the way. Judging from the new music I heard Saturday night, the pooping confetti might be one of their new songs.
I heard more than one person on the day, and then many more afterwards on social media say Garbage was their favorite act.
Come on!
So good.
So good.
Oh, and by the way, Bean, that's how you fall off a stage.
Right?
Okay?
Right?
You wuss. She kept singing on the way down, hit the ground, kept singing, stood up, kept singing.
Didn't miss a song. Didn't miss a word.
No,
worked
not
the pit,
one.
Worked the pit, kept singing, got back on stage, kept singing. Like a rock goddess.
Yep.
Like she descended from Mount Olympus.
No, she's incredible. It's the most professional falling off a stage I've ever seen in my life.
Right, exactly. She go, I need help.
You're not even in the same. You're not even in the same league.
Somebody help me.
In my defense, I was unconscious. Okay, that was part
That's
of it.
No excuse.
Come on, step it up. What's wrong with you?
Let's hear a little bit of Shirley. Let's hear the tape of when she fell off the stage. They're doing their song Special, and you'll hear like half a second before she picks it up and starts singing again, and just high-fiving everybody right there in the pit. It was awesome.
By the way, that was it. She fell off between those two lines.
Right.
Unbelievable.
And came in on time, on the downbeat.
Yep.
It's like she practiced it, you guys.
Insane. Who
yeah.
can do
Unreal.
That?
We talked to her afterwards. She didn't practice it.
Oh, yeah, right,
That's
right,
not
right.
a practice thing. Insane. Ralph met her, though.
I know.
Well, I feel bad. I think she was thinking about me so much.
She was sidetracked.
That instead of focusing on where she was stepping on the stage,
she
was just, her mind was elsewhere because of the animal attraction. because of the magnetism that existed.
I was like getting hit by lightning meeting Ralph Garman.
She couldn't get it out of her head. She couldn't stop thinking about our meeting just before she went on stage. And so that's what that kept her from being fully focused
here's the thing.
On the job at hand.
Ralph, who will not meet Shirley no matter how many times she's been in the studio, I don't want to meet her. I love her so much. I just don't. And he will go outside. You can't find Ralph when he's
he's hiding
when
under
she's
desks
here.
And other parts of the building.
He just says randomly, today's the day. I'm going to meet Shirley today. This is it. I'm going to do it.
And what changed your mind, Ralph?
Yeah, why?
Because you weren't even drunk.
Magic. Magic changed my mind.
All right.
Okay.
Magic.
No, I just thought it was sort of in the air. It was the last weenie at Verizon Amphitheater, and it was, I don't know, it just seemed appropriate.
Seemed right.
That was the
you
time.
You picked your moment.
Yes.
And could
and
she
then,
have
still,
been
though,
any sweeter?
Before I met her, I was backstage, and the stage they were coming on to get on stage before the stage turned around for their set. And she was putting on her ear monitors, and she was talking to the guys in the band and everything. And I said, mate, this isn't the right time, because she looks like she's getting ready to do her job. And
yeah.
I don't want to bother her while she's getting ready to do her job. And to their credit, Kevin and Bean were very nice. They said, no, this is ridiculous. We're going to walk you over there. We're going to introduce you.
We didn't care she was working.
No, you didn't at all. You had no respect for the woman's talent at all. And they just barged up to her and said, this is Ralph. This is the guy. And she was insanely sweet and kind. And she was funny. And she hugged me. And she walked back seductively, toying with
yes,
me.
Yeah, she did this whole thing with her hands,
she...
like, come to me, Ralph.
She did.
It was amazing.
And she jumped on me, and it was just, we had the best time.
I'll tell you what's most impressive is she was paying attention to going on stage. Mm-hmm. She had her, like, ear things like beans, like Ralph said, and she wasn't distracted. When she talked to Ralph, she mm-mm. put all of that out of her mind and sort of
she
like
was
Ralph
fully
was
engaged. We had a lovely little conversation, and then I was
and
like,
then
okay,
she fell off the stage.
I'm going to go let you do your job, and she was thinking about me so much.
Yeah,
oh, wow. She was like lost in trance.
She forgot where she was walking. She didn't even know where the end of stage was because she's just dreamily imagining.
Well,
moments.
She got lost in your eyes, Ralph.
There
happened. Was a little bit of a lost in translation moment as you guys were parting there, where she leaned up and whispered something in your ear, and I have a feeling you'll never tell us what it was.
Yeah, that's not for you. That's our little thing. That's our special.
Well, thanks to all the bands who were great, by the way, and thanks to the fans. I mean, it wasn't a million degrees this year. It was perfect.
Everything about
it was perfect.
Maybe
and,
my favorite weenie ever.
It was
top to
great.
Bottom. It was pretty amazing.
And I just as I was walking around and seeing how massive that place is, I just can't imagine they're going to be bulldozing that thing in a couple months. Like everything we saw is going to be gone. It's going to be
stupid
real sad
homes,
to see that place go.
People living in stupid houses,
right?
Get an apartment, people. Leave us alone with our amphitheater.
I always look forward to this time every week because we get to catch up with our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. And today I think I'm going to learn a little something because he's going to tell us about the Cosby effect. Good morning, Harvey.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very good.
Doing
great,
you.
Man. Thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. I don't know
of
what
course.
The Cosby effect is. This is an interesting show business story that I did not anticipate.
I am so interested in this. So I actually, somebody was talking to me last week, and they told me about this, and I thought, this can't be true. And I started calling around, and it is. So here's the deal. When you get insurance, you get auto insurance, you get homeowners insurance, and you can insure for a lot of money. I mean, you can insure for up to $1 million in a lot of these, maybe even a little more. But there are a lot of very rich, famous people who need more protection than that because they have a lot of assets to protect.
Okay.
And they can get sued for a lot of money. So there's something called an umbrella policy, which basically says, okay, you've got your existing auto and you got your existing homeowners, but we are going to give you additional protection. You can get up to $20 to $30 million in additional protection. You buy insurance, so you're covered for $20 or $30 million more.
So if somebody if somebody sues them, then they don't have to pay that money?
That's right,
yeah.
Because it's insurance, but it's insurance on steroids for people who have a lot of money and they want to protect it.
Okay.
And they're targets, too. So
right.
It was always difficult to get this kind of insurance, but I called around. It is virtually now impossible. And some of the insurance companies are telling brokers it's called the Cosby effect. And what it means is this. They started looking at Bill Cosby, and they saw he was getting sued by woman after woman after woman. And all of a sudden, they're saying, holy crap, you know, who knew about Cosby? and now all of a sudden look at what's going on with him. It's just too risky because you've got celebrities who allegedly take advantage of their position and you don't know that they're doing it and they have an image one way, but then they do something else secretly and it's too much. So you just can't get insurance. They're not doing it anymore, and it's the Cosby effect.
How about that? So has Bill Cosby been paying out large sums of money to any of these women so far?
No, I mean, as far as I can – well, actually, that's not true. We were told, and I can't confirm this, that there may have been some settlements in the past, but none of this came to light until obviously like a year ago or whatever it was. And, you know, now they're just looking at the volume of lawsuits and legal problems that he has, and they're just saying, you know, it's just too risky. And it's not even so much Cosby, it's just opened their eyes, and they've said, you know what, it's just not worth it for us to insure celebrities this way.
Well, now that you've told me that, now I'm pulling my support from Bill Cosby. That's the final straw for me. I was cool.
Look what he did.
Look what he did. All right, let's talk about another star in the news, and this is a surprise. Wendell Pierce is an actor who a lot of people don't know his name. They would certainly recognize his face. He's most famous for being Bunk on The Wire, but he's been on Ray Donovan, and he was on the Clarence Thomas, the Confirmation movie. Yeah. He's a very political guy. Is that what we learned from this story, Harvey?
Yeah, he was in Atlanta over the weekend, and at 3:30 in the morning, he runs into this guy and this girl at the Los Hotel. So they start talking, and somehow it comes out that they are Bernie Sanders supporters. He is a Hillary Clinton supporter, which is okay.
Right. It sounds to me like you may be splitting the difference there, but you're kind of on the same team.
Kind of. You would think.
Meaning it's not a Hillary and a Trump person, you know?
It's not Trump and Cruz.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And so you would think, well, that's not the way Wendell saw it. And allegedly, Wendell went after the boyfriend and then pulled the girl's hair and smacked her. And so this guy and this girl go up to their room, call a security in the hotel. They call the cops, and Wendell gets busted for battery and taken to jail. So it's not only the Republicans.
Wow. That is something.
Liberals, am I right?
Right? Right?
Liberals.
Look, don't talk politics at 3:30 in the morning. That's just my advice.
My answer is don't talk politics.
I'm going to go out on a limb and just take a wild, wild guess.
Please.
Maybe liquor might have been a little bit.
Oh, I see.
It sounds crazy, but I think I believe it.
All right. Don't end up in jail if you disagree with someone politically. That's what we're saying. Bad man, Wendell Pierce. Look for TMZ and TMZ Live on Fox Channel 11, TMZ Sports, of course, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And if you're buying tickets, and you should, for the outstanding TMZ tour, make sure to get them only from TMZ.com. Harvey Levin, have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next Monday.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Hey, we got Blink 182 tickets for you later on this morning on the program. They're playing with the Day to Remember and All Time Low. Got them for you all week here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. Irvine Meadows on September 29 or October 1st at the Forum. Keep on listening for your chance to win. And by the way, after seeing them Saturday night, you don't want to miss this tour.
Yeah,
right?
It's great.
So good.
Great stuff.
So good. Remember Doug Kriegel, reporter for Channel 4?
Legendary.
I love Doug Kriegel. Doug was on the Channel 4 News for 31 years.
Wait, love ironically?
No.
No, I just enjoy him.
Okay.
Enjoy the heck out of him.
Okay.
He retired a year ago or so, and now he's running for state assembly. He's actually getting into politics. By the way, Doug Kriegel, this is going to surprise you, Kevin, because you've been watching him on TV your whole life, has two master's degrees, one in economics and one in journalism.
Okay.
He just didn't seem that smart to me.
Oh!
Okay. I'd be surprised by that.
All right.
So he is running.
He can't breathe, though. That's an issue.
He does have problems. He hopes to represent the 45th district in California's West San Fernando Valley. He is on the ballot this year, and we thought we might catch up with him and see what Doug Kriegel has been up to. And I think he joins us on the phone right now on K-Rock.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you today?
Hi, Doug. Great to talk to you again. How you been?
I couldn't be better. I'm very excited about running for state assembly.
For state assembly, right. Why are you always so out of breath, Doug?
I'm not out of breath at all. I'm just very excited about being out here among the people and getting up to my head.
We just remember all those years where you were out on the street interviewing people about how they were going to handle the rain. I bet this is more fun, huh?
Right now, I'm covering Kriegelgate 2016.
Is that a thing?
Not yet, but okay. I'm hoping. Kriegelpalooza. Kriegelwatch. Kriegelwatch 2016 is what I'm going to be calling it, I think.
So you are definitely a celebrity to a certain number of people.
Yes, I am. I'm a huge celebrity.
In that they recognize you from all those years on the news. Have you found that people are excited to meet you when you campaign?
Let's find out. Sir, do you know who I am?
No.
I'm Doug Kriegel, formerly of NBC.
Okay.
Would you vote for me?
No.
Shut up. Get away from me.
That didn't go well.
That's what happens when you're doing live stand-ups on television.
Why are you doing live stand-ups? Where are you doing them?
The only thing I know how to do.
Right.
I go out and I talk to people on the street.
Right. That is.
But it's not on TV
thing.
At all anywhere, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just very, very much off of television.
Okay. Okay. All right.
You just do this to entertain yourself?
This is how I get in touch with the people so I can find out how to best represent them and stay in family.
Is there a cameraman there? Or are you just standing there randomly with a microphone?
I don't even have a microphone. I'm holding a hairbrush.
Wow, you're a guy whose retirement has been tough for you to adjust to.
Well, as you mentioned, Beat, I'm just not that smart.
Not that smart, right.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
All right, so why do you want to be in the state assembly, Doug?
Because the current state assemblyman, Matt Dabney, is unacceptable.
I'm sorry, what was his name again, please?
Matt Dabney.
It really is.
It sort of is.
Okay. All right. I just want to double check.
Right, so
he's not doing a good job, and you're going to change all that.
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
Ralph, did you get a babysitter for tonight so you could be here at the Weenie Roast?
Ralph, who's your babysitter?
If I told you, Muggs, it wouldn't mean anything because you wouldn't know. You don't know the person's name.
Do you trust her?
That's a great follow-up.
It's an actual conversation
that happened
backstage at the Weenie Roast.
Oh, that's sweet.
And we were just standing there, we're just looking at him going, like, why do you care who's babysitting Ralph's daughter? You're not going to know this person. And why would you ask if you trust the person you hired for the job?
Isn't that applied if I bring someone into my home to watch my child, that there's a sense of trust
already? I think
already
for most people,
that's a given relationship.
That's a given.
Like, yeah. That's partly how you picked the person that you chose to give that job to.
I think that would probably be first on the list of criteria of someone you would invite into your home to watch.
It was a weird conversation.
Very strange. But at least he had that bright red face going.
Oh, he was so burned.
And his electric chair haircut that he had gotten.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the same haircut they give men. They send the electric chairs with the sponge and the cap fits just right before they throw the switch. And he was bloated and red and sunburned, and it was just a magical Muggs moment, really, on every level.
He was so Muggsy on Saturday
night. It was so Muggs.
I was so thin, and then I had this beer, and then I just blew up.
When I stop drinking beer, I get svelte. I slim right down, and then when I drink beer, I blow up again.
So I said to him, do you drink beer every day before work? Because I've never seen the svelte slim down version.
Let's do it. I slim right down if I stop drinking beer for a little bit.
It was so wonderful.
It was mugtastic.
It was the best. You guys remember when he went snowboarding and put chapstick on his face?
His face.
Instead of sunscreen, he put chapstick on his face.
Yep.
To protect it from the sun.
He couldn't have been more burned that day either.
Yeah.
He does not learn that, boy.
He will not. He's doing a great job.
Yep. He will not see 40. All right. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of Muggs, he is anxiously awaiting your phone calls right now because I have something awesome to give away. A pair of passes to the K-Rock exclusive IMAX 3D advanced screening of Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Yay!
This, of course, is the sequel to the huge hit Alice in Wonderland, starring Johnny Depp and Mia Wasikowska. I always have a hard time with her name, but she's lovely and talented. You know her. Anne Hathaway also stars in this. Who's Tim Burton's girlfriend? Helena Bonham Carter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's in it. Mm-hmm. Tim Burton directs. They're not anymore together, right?
No.
But they were.
For a long time.
Yeah. This looks great. This movie looks awesome. I love the first one. This one looks just as good. Did you see that video, by the way, of Johnny Depp at Disneyland?
No, I did not see that.
They have a kiosk at Disneyland set up with posters of the movie, the main characters from the movie, all around it. And one of the posters, what looks seems to be a poster, was actually a screen.
Right.
And so they had Johnny Depp on location at Disneyland in full Mad Hatter makeup. And they had the screen there on the kiosk, just him staring out as if it's the picture from the movie. And then people would come up to look at it, and he would start to talk to them.
Oh. I love that
They
so
had
much.
A camera there on the people who were looking at the poster, and he would start to interact with them, and people were losing their minds.
I love that so much.
You got to check it out. You can find that video online. It's very entertaining. But I digress. The screening we're having is on May 25th at the IMAX headquarters. You can't get a better IMAX screen than the one at IMAX headquarters.
I would hope.
It's amazing. The 25th of May is when we're having it, and it's in theaters everywhere on May 27th. But if you'd like to see it early in IMAX in 3D, give us a call now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that phone number will get a pair of passes to our exclusive advanced screening of Alice Through the Looking Glass. Do you trust her? Your babysitter?
It's like, where's the outrage there?
No, Muggs, I don't. I just lay my child down on a bed of broken glass and just leave the room.
What do you suppose was going on in his mind that prompted him to
it's
ask that
impossible
question?
Impossible to know that.
I mean, that's just so backwards.
We'll never know. The world may never know.
That's the magic of Muggs.
It's Monday, and we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see over the weekend. Captain America Civil War once again came out on top. $72.6 million made it number one. The Jungle Book was second with $17.8 million. Then Money Monster debuted with $15 million, good enough to make it number three. The Darkness and Mother's Day were the top five films. Zootopia, The Huntsman, Winter's War, Keanu, Barbershop, The Next Cut, and The Boss were your top 10 films. Speaking of films, good news. Another great cast member has joined Marvel's upcoming Black Panther movie. You know, Chadwick Boseman, of course, plays the Black Panther in Civil War. It was terrific, by the way.
So good.
So good. And then if you stick around, the credits, there's a little post-credit scene, mid-post-credit scene, where they show you sort of the tease for the upcoming Black Panther film. It's amazing. Lupita Nyong'o is in talks to play his love interest in the film. And it looks like Michael B. Jordan will be joining the cast as well.
All right.
So, wow.
That's going to be a pretty damn good-looking cast right here. Hayden Panettiere, star of Nashville, of course, which now is gone. Stupid ABC.
Thanks, Obama.
Right?
Jerks.
She has checked back into a rehab facility for her ongoing battle with postpartum depression.
Oh, no.
Apparently, it didn't help that her show was also canceled, I can imagine. But she did say on Twitter that she's going back into a facility to get more treatment. The postpartum depression I've been experiencing has impacted every aspect of my life. Rather than stay stuck due to unhealthy coping mechanisms, I've chosen to take time to reflect holistically on my life and this means nothing. What are you saying to us?
What is your PR person saying to us?
Yes. So, I don't know. I guess she's going to get healthy holistically.
All right.
So, good luck.
Very sad story with her.
It's a nightmare. Postpartum is a nightmare.
And then to have your storyline be, I have postpartum.
Right.
And then your show gets canceled. I mean, that's a ridiculous 1-2-3 punch.
Yeah.
One powers.
That's right. That was another one. That was.
Thank you, Bean. 1-2-3 punch.
And speaking of ridiculous, Ryan Seacrest.
Knock Knock Live is back.
Knock Knock Live is back.
Oh, we wish.
That wouldn't that be the best news ever? Sadly, no. He got a doctorate degree from the University of Georgia. This is the school he dropped out of in his freshman year to pursue his dreams of being a showbiz haircut.
Right.
And so they invited him back, not only to give the closing speech, the graduation speech, but they gave him a doctorate. So now he's a PhD.
Honorary, though, right?
Yeah. But still, he has to put it all over his stationery and stuff. Do people see you stationery?
I don't think so, but...
I don't think so either.
We know what you mean.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. He gets to put that somewhere. He gets to claim that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ryan Seacrest, PhD. Come on. Come on, University of Georgia. You're better than that.
Right.
Come on, Bulldogs. Is that the Bulldogs?
That is the Bulldogs.
So, yeah.
How about me? Get me.
How about me?
How about me? Let's hear it for
him. Let's hear it for me. Thank you.
Well done.
And speaking of Knock Knock Live, Simpsons Live last night. They made history last night. The first live animated television show ever.
How was it?
Well, it wasn't the whole episode. The last 3 minutes of the show, Homer Simpson sat at a desk and took phone calls from viewers.
Okay.
But it was live. And what they did is they put Dan Castellaneta, the legendary voice of Homer Simpson, in a motion capture suit. And he interacted with the callers who called in live. Wow. And if we've learned anything from the Kevin and Bean show, sometimes talking to live callers may not necessarily be the best use of your entertainment time.
Love it.
Sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't go well.
Most of the time it doesn't go well.
I'm just saying it's a big risk.
Right.
When you pick up that phone, you're not sure who's on the other side, and you're not really sure how you're going to respond. So it was hit and miss. But I would think it was a bold experiment. Here's a little piece from last night's show.
Let's go to Hannah. Hannah, you're talking to Homer.
Hi there, Homer. My question for you is, who do you like more, Lenny or Carl, and why?
Let's see. I like Lenny because he's the black guy, and wait a minute, no. Carl's the... Wait, let me get back to you when I figure out who's who.
That might have worked better had it been written out in advance.
Well, that the whole idea was to improvise it and make it live. Well, I mean, why would you do it live if you're going to read from a script, right? You could just film that.
Of course, yeah.
So, hit and miss. Okay. Hit and miss. He did start things off, though, by saying, to prove this is live, last night on Saturday Night Live, Drake sucked. That was pretty fun. Today's celebrity birthdays. Danny Trejo is 72 years old today. Pierce Brosnan is 63. Chris Novoselic turns 51. Janet Jackson turns 50. David Boreanaz is 47 years old. Jason Acuna, perhaps better known as Wee Man from Jackass, 43 years old. And Megan Fox celebrates her 30th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Keep listening for your chance to win tickets to see Blink 182. Also, Cure tickets on the program today. And our friend Bob Saget joins us 1 hour from right now here on the world famous K-Rock.
Bean, catch me up on the Donald Trump is his own publicist story. This is one of my favorites.
This has been common knowledge for years. Donald Trump admitted back in the 90s that he had, on multiple occasions, done interviews as his own spokesperson. Sometimes he uses the name John Barron. Sometimes he uses the name John Miller. It kind of came out again a few months ago because, obviously, he's running for president right now. The Washington Post has been following this story. But now it's really getting some traction because they uncovered audio of him pretending to be his own spokesperson, and he's denying now that he did it.
Why would he do that, I wonder?
I don't know.
Because I find it funny. Like, I wouldn't not vote. If I was going to vote for somebody, I wouldn't not
this
vote for them.
This wouldn't change your mind.
No, he was a businessman in when was this, early 90s?
Early 90s,
who cares?
Right.
He's messing around. Who cares? But yes, he's saying no.
This is so far down on the list of reasons to not vote for Donald Trump. It barely shows up. But yeah, so now he is denying that he was, in fact, the guy who was pretending to be his own spokesperson.
So you can make up your own mind about it. We're going to play some of the audio for you. This is the reporter is on the phone, and then Donald Trump as his assistant is also on the phone.
What's your name again?
John Miller.
And you work with Donald Trump?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, my name is John Miller. I love that so much.
It doesn't disguise his voice at all.
Not even a little bit. So then he starts to talk about how Donald has a lot of options when it comes to women. All women want Donald Trump.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's somebody that has a lot of options. And frankly, he gets called by everybody. He gets called by everybody in the book in terms of women. And he gets called by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the people that you write about, and you people do a great job, by the way, but a lot of the people that you write about really are, I mean, they call. They just call. Actresses, people that you write about just call to see if they can go out with them and things. And
you can't say, like, did Madonna ever really call?
He was so set up with that. You know, Madonna called, and what happened, I mean, I don't know if you want to listen to this.
No, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, so he sets her up. Then he goes through like 3 minutes of saying Madonna was there. She invited him over. He signed a few things for her dancers and he left. He had no interest. But Madonna really wanted to date him.
Like a spokesperson would ever say these things.
Right.
And wasn't Donald Trump already famous enough at this time that people would have recognized his voice as being Donald Trump? I would think so.
Think so, too. So now I have just one more clip, and this is he's dating a model, and she's super successful, and she's with Mick Jagger.
Oh.
Until Donald shows up.
Carla Bruni, right?
Yes.
And she's always very busy and very successful, et cetera, et cetera. She was having a big thing with Mick Jagger.
I think her name is Kimora or something like that. But anyway, she's with Mick Jagger.
Did you hear about this?
Well, I just
ended up going with Mick Jagger. And then she dropped Mick Jagger for Donald. And that's where it is right now.
She said, Mick Jagger, you're not enough. I need Donald Trump.
Right.
On.
Because that's obvious. You dump Mick Jagger for the raw sexuality of Donald Trump, right? Well, we are, as the rest of the world is, fascinated with this story. And, you know, we're lucky enough to have a good relationship with Mr. Trump. And he's been kind enough to come on once and for all and settle this mystery for good. Mr. Trump, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Hello?
Yes. Hi. Kevin and Bean here, sir.
Oh, hello, Kevin and Bean. Thank you so much for calling, but I'm afraid Mr. Trump can't get to the phone right now.
Who's this?
No, I'm not Donald Trump. I'm a spokesperson for Donald Trump.
I see.
But you are Donald Trump. I recognize your voice, sir.
I'm not. I'm just a PR representative for Mr. Trump, who, by the way, is amazing. He's tremendously talented.
Right.
And he's going to make an excellent, excellent president, okay?
What is your name, sir?
My name is Steve Stevenson.
Okay. And how long have you been working for Mr. Trump?
I've been with him 25 years.
Wow.
You're an amazing employer. Once you work with him, you never want to leave. You'd want to work with this guy forever because he's the best. He's the most tremendous boss.
Okay.
The kindest, most tremendous boss who, as far as I know, only hires people who are legal. I've never seen him hire an illegal alien once ever because he's tremendous.
Huh. What do you have to say about all of the news reports that Donald Trump sometimes pretends to be his own spokesperson in interviews?
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Who would even spread those lies? This is an opportunity, once again, for people to try to take him down. Not your show. Your show's amazing, by the way. Love your show. But a lot of people will say things about Mr. Trump trying to discredit him. And frankly, it's embarrassing. So I say, sit down. Sit down if you're saying that about Donald Trump. Wow. The man's a saint.
He says that, too. He said sit down a lot.
Well, I've been around him a lot. So I think maybe I picked up a few things from him.
How long have you worked for him?
I've been with him for 12 years.
Oh, you said 20 to 25.
12 to 25 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Somewhere in that range.
I see.
Either 12 or 25 or somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, time flies so quickly when you're with him. You can't even register how much time you're with him because it's tremendous. You just want to spend all your time learning and basking in what I think is maybe, you know, I know a lot of people. He's one of the best people ever to ever walk the planet Earth once.
Wow. Wow. You sound like you're a big fan. It sounds like you're in love.
He is. First of all, he's not gay. He's very straight.
Very straight.
He gets a lot of women.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Women call him up just wanting to date him.
That's what I hear.
And he is, between you and me, I don't know if you know, if you ever heard him speak, but
yeah,
he is such an amazing speaker. He has the best words.
Right.
And women just fall at his feet because they can't believe how intelligent he is. And he's huge. A huge package.
I don't think that's something that we need to know.
He has to get up Taylor to take two pairs of pants and sew them together because one pair of pants cannot hold his enormous penis. And
wow.
I see a lot of penises. It's one of the best penises ever. I've never seen a better penis than his.
He sounds like he's going to be an outstanding United States president then.
He will be the best president, first of all.
Okay.
He's going to get all the jobs back. He's going to build all the walls.
Right.
Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. It's a suggestion. It's a policy. We don't know. He will be the best president and winning. There will be so much winning.
So much winning, right.
That you will never, you'll say to me, Alan, why do you...
Steve.
Why,
I think I thought it was Steve.
Your name was Steve.
My name is Steve Alan Stevenson.
Oh, that's your middle name.
Some people go by my middle name.
I see.
Okay.
And they say, how can you work for such a wonderful man? And I say, I would do it for free. And don't get me wrong, he is the best boss.
Right.
He pays the highest salary.
Right.
Trust me. I've had a lot of salaries, and his salaries are the best, okay?
The best salaries,
But I would do it for free just to be around him. And that... huge package. Did I mention his penis?
You certainly did.
Oh, it's so big.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like looking at the sun.
Right. We're going to let you get back to that now. Thanks, Steve. I mean, Alan.
You're welcome, Kevin and Bean. And I will tell Mr. Trump that you called, and he'll probably get back to you because he's amazing. He's a tremendous
person.
We've
heard that, yeah. Okay. We'll look forward to that. Thanks, man. It is Monday morning. Welcome to an all-new week of Kevin and Bean Shows. By the way, the very funny W. Kamau Bell is going to be joining us in studio at this time tomorrow. Also, Ralph, your friend Sadie Allison is going to be back.
Ah, the doc.
Apparently, it is National Self-Pleasure Month.
You don't have to tell me.
Look at me right now. She sent me a lovely care package.
Yeah.
Really?
Look
yeah.
at me right now. Look at me.
Okay. All right. Stop.
Stop.
Yes.
Is this a pleasure day or week? Or how long do I have to do this?
Month? It was yesterday. You missed it.
I'm so sore.
Anyway, that's... please stop doing it. That's all tomorrow right here on the Kevin DeBean Show. First, though, we got to take care of some business. We were having a conversation after the show on Friday, and I think, Ralph, you brought up what you had seen on the red carpet at Cannes, right?
It wasn't what I had seen, and I even didn't know this happened until the media went ape-ess over this story, which was really what caught my attention, was that I saw in tons of media outlets people treating this like it was the moon landing, that Julia Roberts walked the red carpet at Cannes Film Festival barefoot. That she took her shoes off and she climbed the famous, iconic steps of Cannes, covered by a red carpet for the premiere of Money Monster, her new film with George Clooney, and she has slipped off her heels and she walked up barefoot.
Right? Wait, is that the whole story?
That's the story!
And then what?
News outlet after news outlet covered this as if she had a face hugger jump out of her chest from Alien and just breed right there in the red carpet. They were stunned and shocked and outraged. And some people were really outraged, like went off on
How
her.
How mad can you be?
This is my point. I'm no foot fetishist.
Same.
But I think an attractive woman's bare feet can be really sexy.
Agreed. But even if you don't like it, how mad can you be?
Right. And that's when I found out that Dave has foot phobia or foot horror or whatever, with foot feelings, whatever he's
was the reason. Was the reason people were treating it like such a big deal just because it was the protocol there is to be as dressed up as possible and to wear heels and fancy dresses?
Well,
they thought she was slumming it, like she was too informal for the formal event? Is that what the complaint was?
It's a giant foreign film market, and you get all kinds of women in bikinis and stuff and everything. It's a circus.
Okay,
now,
all right.
The film festival itself is sort of high profile, but by no means, I think, was she out of bounds because she took her shoes off to walk up the stairs.
Plus, if you're Julia Roberts and you're at a film
festival. And if you look at these pictures of her, talk about self-pleasure month. I mean, that does it for me. She just looks sexy as hell, and the barefoot thing is totally working.
Now, at this point in the meeting, Dave started yelling.
He went off on feet.
Well, listen, I'm not saying about this in general, because this is a whole different subject. But I'm talking about the people who are barefoot in public, who are, you know, you see them on the freeway, they stick their feet on their dashboard and have their feet out the window.
Oh, that's sexy as hell.
That's the most disgusting.
If there's a girl in the passenger seat with her feet out the window while they're driving down the road and like in the summertime, oh man, boner. Right? Right?
Wrong. Wrong.
That's sexy, Dave.
I think it's sexy too. All right, Dave.
No.
All feet?
It's not gross.
All feet.
Why is
all
gross?
Feet. All feet. So, yeah. So I was saying, you know, as long as you take care of your feet, I don't care.
But most people don't.
Okay, but in this case, Julia Roberts did.
Everything,
you were outraged by her on the red carpet.
I wasn't outraged by her. No,
yes, you were.
Ralph used the.
You said she's on a red carpet. That's so dirty.
Yeah, you did. You said look at her. She walked on that carpet. That's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, she shouldn't be walking barefoot there, especially if they have a rule of, because the reason why people are upset about Julia Roberts is they have a rule where girls are supposed to be in high heels, and that's the thing. And
whatever.
And they even turned
she's Julia
they turned
Roberts.
Away people. Yeah, but that's not the case.
I think it was.
Yeah, she should not be barefoot. But there. It's just disgusting.
Why is it disgusting? They're just feet.
Because then when she's walking on that carpet, the carpet's dirty itself. And then you're going
to
see
the Do you think they went on a used carpet to put at the Cannes Film Festival?
It's your feet get dirty when you walk on things.
Okay.
You know? You know it.
Listen to how intense Dave is
when
right
you
now,
walk
by
on
the way.
Things.
Yeah.
They get dirty.
They
when
get
you walk
dirty.
On things.
Okay, here's my thing, though. You didn't have a date set up with Julia Roberts to lick her feet, right?
Oh,
then how does it affect you?
I know you would.
How does it affect you?
I'm not saying it affects me, but I'm just saying we got into a discussion of being barefoot in public, people being barefoot in public.
Right.
That's what we were talking about, and that's what I find disgusting.
But then you even said you hate it when guys wear sandals.
Well, that's sandals with pants. That's the whole different thing.
Oh, okay, you're insane.
Yeah, that's a fashion thing. That's a fashion thing.
Dave's all about
that. I will back Dave up on this.
Okay.
When someone sits next to me on a plane and then they take off their shoes.
Yes, it's gross.
Keep the socks on. I'm fine. I'm okay with that.
All right.
But you take off your socks.
I've never seen that.
Oh, I see it all the time.
Really?
It is disgusting.
Like, what if they have really nice feet?
To me, there are no nice feet.
I think because
really? Yeah, no. Feet are gross.
There are no nice feet?
No, feet are disgusting.
That's madness.
I think a lot of feet are disgusting, but because people don't take care of them. I feel like a lot of people take care of their feet.
I don't care how great your pedicure is. Your feet are so gross.
It's just a social faux pas because you're in close quarters trapped with someone. You shouldn't do anything sort of intimate or personal. And that is, taking your shoes and socks off, that's kind of like an intimate thing. You shouldn't do that.
I take off my pants. Is that cool?
No, that's fine.
On the plane? Okay.
Like, we had that in restaurants, I think, are the two places where you shouldn't have your bare feet because people might get freaked out. Yeah. But other than that, I think it's all fair game.
We had Uriah Faber come in the studio a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
He wore sandals, took off his sandals.
Jeans and sandals.
Picked up his feet. And started playing with them in our office.
Yeah, he was like touching in between his toes and stuff.
It was gross. Even Luke Rockhold, who was his buddy next to him, was saying, dude, that's disgusting.
But he's a guy who spends probably 90% of his time without shoes.
Right.
You know what? That's his life.
Well, the 10% should be in public where they should be on.
What if he didn't touch
them? Free the feet, Dave. Free the feet. Come on.
What if he didn't touch them? Because I know that's what pushed it over the top of you. What if he didn't touch them?
What if he just had his feet just hanging out?
It's still not cool.
Really?
Yeah.
What about
think about it.
What about the surfer guy that works here? His feet don't bother me. Oh, his feet don't bother me at all.
No, you know mine either.
Jay is always barefoot. He's the nicest guy. And for some reason, in my mind, those are his shoes.
Because he's a surfer.
They're not his skin shoes.
Hold on. He's a surfer, so he spends 99% of his time without shoes. And his feet look perfectly fine, and there's no issue. There's zero issue.
It's I don't know why.
Then Muggs takes off the shoes.
But it's disgusting. No. Yeah.
Muggs should be wearing a burka, right? Just head to toe, he should be covered with something.
But I'm saying people's feet, if they're nice, who cares?
They should not have. They should be wearing shoes.
Why do the feet have to be trapped?
Because they're gross.
Gross. And their whole sanitary argument goes out the window because you touch more filthy things with your hands all day long than you do walking barefoot.
Yeah,
so should we all wear gloves?
It has nothing to do with sanitary. I'm just saying it's gross to look at.
Huh.
Yeah. I'm not smelling the feet. I see them. If they're in the next car, I can't smell the feet. But I see them, and it's just really distracting and gross.
All right. What do we want to look for? Should we try to find some more Daves? Because maybe they can articulate in a way that he's not.
Yeah. What's with all the feet hate?
What's with all the feet hate? That's a great question, Ralph. So 1-800-520-1067. Whether you hate that Julia Roberts walked this red carpet barefoot, or you hate seeing somebody stick their feet out the window when they're driving down the road or walking in a park or whatever they're doing, you are saying cover up your feet at all costs. That's the person we want to hear from right now. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. If you're just joining us, we were having a conversation based on Julia Roberts walking up a flight of stairs in her bare feet at Cannes Film Festival. And apparently a lot of people are spinning out. Dave doesn't ever want to see a person's feet in public. And those are the calls we're going to be going to. Listen to this. Just text it in on the 714. Feet are gross. They are dirty. The ground is dirty. And when they're in shoes, they get hot and sweaty and sticky. In public, I have no interest in seeing any of that. In public, it is inappropriate and disgusting.
Oh, man.
In your own home. Knock yourself out, says the 714 caller.
And saying there's a lot more bad parts of a human body than the feet.
Dear Kevin Abita, I hate to be on KOM's side, but feet in public is gross. Nothing worse than seeing feet hanging out of a car, either. Barf, says Christian.
Come on.
Belinda says,
barf. Why all the feet hate?
Belinda says, and this might be an interesting distinction, Dave, for you to tell us about. Dave's argument makes no sense based on the fact that you can see feet in flip-flops. Do you have a problem with flip-flops or women's sandals, he wants to know. Good question.
Or
is just the bottom of the feet you have a problem with?
I hate flip-flops because you see the feet.
Yeah. All right, what about girls' sandals? You can still see the feet.
If you're at the beach, fine, because it's the beach. But
if a girl's wearing sandals.
What a pair of strappy sandals with the sundress.
You know, summertime, walking down Sunset Boulevard.
Fine.
Whatever. All right, let's take this call.
Dave will begrudgingly allow you to wear sandals.
I'll allow it.
Let's start with Live 3,
Don't take
please.
Those off. Do not take those sandals off.
Live 3, 1-800-520-1067. This is going to be Valerie. She'll get us going from Rancho Cucamonga. Hey, Valerie, thanks for calling. Thank you for holding on.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Val, what's up?
I hate feet.
You hate feet?
Anyone that knows me, I hate feet. Like, if you want my seat in the couch, put your feet on me and I will run away. Like,
I would never stop doing that.
My friends have know that that's what they need to do. Like, put your feet around me, and I'll be like, oh, you're disgusting, and I walk away.
Now, what do you think that's about? Have you ever stopped to think, why am I so turned off by something that 100% of the people have, including you?
They're hot. They're clammy. Like, this is disgusting. If you don't, and especially if you don't take care of your feet.
But what? But like, what if people do though? That's my question. Because I feel like if you take, you,
no.
Okay,
no.
I don't think
my
so.
My nephew is five. My nephew is five, and he put his feet on me, and I literally was like, "Oh no, you're disgusting."
There's nothing better than little kids' feet.
Kids' feet.
No.
Okay,
no.
Let's, Valerie. You got problems.
Once again,
you got problems.
I only have an issue with feet in public. At home, hey, that's your own thing. I still don't like looking at feet.
If you want to be a pervert in your own home and have your feet be naked, that's up to you.
No, I'm saying it's like even if I went to Kevin's house and he was barefoot, hey, it's your house, whatever.
Oh, he'd accept
that's
that.
That's nice that you would allow that. You would
I'll say I wouldn't find it disgusting.
That's very cool.
But thank you, Valerie. We appreciate the call.
Put on some shoes.
Let's go to Jack Hollywood Line 2, please. He's got a question for the king as well.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, good morning, everybody. You
know, morning.
Hey, my quick question. Were you, like, molested by your mother with her feet?
What?
Wow.
What?
Is that a category?
Damn.
Did you have, like, some dominant girlfriend that made you, like, lick her feet before you got busy?
I mean, that went south so fast!
Do you have foot trauma, Dave?
Is there I do not have foot trauma.
Have you been
no.
Your brother didn't, like, torture you or anything?
No,
this is like the Dr. Drew question on Loveline.
Who touched you?
Yeah. What foot touched you, Dave? No, all Jack, right. Apparently no foot trauma. Sorry.
Zero.
Let's not talk to my mother. Thanks.
Let's talk to Denise on line 8. She's in Torrance. She is a barefooter. Let's find out what it's like. For her. A barefooter?
No shoes.
Yes, I am.
No shoes.
Hello?
You never wear shoes. Hi.
Hi. So I grew up in Hawaii. So when we were little, we never wore shoes.
Right?
Like we would go to school barefoot, and it was never an issue. And even now, I live here in California, and like if I go to someone's house, I take my shoes off when I go inside, even if like I don't really know them that well, just because it's what you do. And I walk around barefoot all the time. It doesn't bother me one bit. In fact, when I first moved here, that was, like, the hardest thing. When my mom was telling me I had to put shoes on to go to school, it was like, but
your mom's a good person.
Like, yeah, I mean, and so for me, I don't know.
Okay, Denise, I get
so free. Doesn't that sound so free?
It does.
You just walk around with your bare feet all the time. It sounds like
I'm taking my shoes off right now.
Me too. I'm with you, Denise.
Best childhood.
But, Denise, I understand that it's comfortable for you and it's what you've done your whole life. Do you ever run into Daves in your world with people who are grossed out by the fact that you're barefoot?
I honestly never have. I've never. Maybe they were thinking it, but nobody's ever said anything to me.
Everyone's being nice to you.
I bet you're probably hot though too. Aren't
yeah,
you, Denise?
That's the thing.
Are
you Denise
hot?
Is hot.
So hopefully, yeah.
Are you hot? Are you hot, Denise? Are you an attractive girl?
That's a yes.
I think I'm pretty attractive.
Yeah, that's why no one says anything.
Yep, that's why Julia Roberts can get away with it too.
I did have a guy once tell me that if my feet weren't pedicured, that like you wouldn't even want to look at them. So I was like, oh, okay.
But they are, and so you're fine. It's all good. Thank you, Denise.
Send me
for the
some
call.
Pictures of your feet, Denise.
we gotta get Denise to come down to K-Rock and just sit in the office with Dave for a while.
Yeah,
just right next to
with
him
with her feet up on the desk.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
it'll help you get over it. It's therapy, Dave.
No, it's gross.
All
right.
No one knows.
Hey. Hey, that was pretty
strong.
Come on,
actually,
where are you people leaving me hanging? Come
that
on,
that actually
now.
Said
that was
right?
Like an alley oop. You were hanging off the rim at the end of that one. That was strong.
Hey guys, Bob Saget's here.
Yes, he is. I know.
Love Bob playing the Irvine Improv this weekend. He'll join us in studio coming up next. First, we also got the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
That's a great room, by the way, that Irvine Improv. If you haven't been down there, boy, that is a great comedy club. They've just redone it in on just maybe a year ago. But it's beautiful, and the sound is great, and the seats are comfortable, and the view, I love it.
Now, your Babylon home is the Hollywood Improv, but you've also done the Irvine Improv before,
right?
We have
played the Irvine, and we'll be down there again in July, yeah. But it's just a great room, really fun. So go see Bob there. Go do that. Bob's, he was in the office, we were chatting, and he was going through a list of things, asking me if he could or couldn't say them.
Great.
Yeah.
No.
So buckle up.
That's great.
That's all I'm saying. Buckle up and put your hand near that button that we all press when we need to dump out of
I will be ready.
Because he's in a mood.
Okay.
It's going to be fun. I'm telling you.
Can't wait.
All right. It's Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Captain America Civil War, number one again this week, $72.6 million.
Kevin, you go see it again?
I did not. I went to see The Darkness.
Yeah.
How were they?
Not the band. Oh. The movie.
Oh.
We talked to Kevin Bacon about.
Right, yeah. with Bruce Wayne in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Little kid David Mazouz.
Mazouz from Gotham, yeah.
So good.
Was it?
Yeah, it was great.
Blackness just comes out of his mouth, just oozing
that
out.
That was freaky.
That's freaky, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tweeted, if that kid looks at the wall and says, "Hi, Jenny," you just get the F out.
Right.
You move out right now.
Well, first you burn the kid, then you leave, right?
I'm not sure you burn
you
the kid.
You burn him to the ground. nothing good can come from that child after that.
It was good. I liked it.
Was it good?
Yeah.
All right. That was, let me see, fourth at the box office. Only made $5.2 million in its debut weekend. Jungle Book was second, then Money Monster. Mother's Day was fifth. Zootopia, The Huntsman, Winter's War, Keanu, Barbershop, The Next Cut, and The Boss. Rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Simpsons last night made a little history. They did a live Simpsons section of their episode last night for both the East and the West Coast, two different versions to keep it completely live. Here was the premise. Homer Simpson sitting behind a desk answering your phone calls. Fans would call in a special number, and then he would take the calls live on the air. And Dan Castellaneta, the actor who plays Homer, would improvise his answers while in a motion capture suit so that they could replicate the Homer's moves on the screen.
I love that.
It was a very bold experiment. It was well worth the try.
I like somebody that swing and a miss, but at least they took a shot.
I
enjoy that.
It's the 40th year Simpsons been on television now. I think it came on during the Carter administration.
Sure.
So look, mix it up, right? Try something new. It was uneven, but I thought overall it had a fun quality to it because, as I mentioned, it was live. Here's a little sample of what it sounded like when Homer Simpson was live last night.
And to prove that we're live, on Saturday Night Live, last night, Drake was terrible. Now to take your calls. Amanda?
You can give me any tips or tricks for making it look like I'm hard at work, but really I'm relaxing or taking a nap.
Always wear glasses with eyes glued onto them.
There you go. That's his advice.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, it was very entertaining. It was.
I like it.
All right.
I'm in.
And U2 has announced new material to keep you happy. Their studio album, they said, isn't ready yet. So what they're going to do is to release a big live package to keep you occupied. That sounds pretty cool.
They're great live.
Innocence and Experience Live in Paris is going to be released not only in a digital download, all the music, but they've filmed it, that concert, in November as well. And that's the one that happened right after the terrorist attacks in Paris. So it's a very powerful live experience, according to people who have seen it. It'll be available on Blu-ray and DVD and digital download, so you get to see that. And that's the one where the Eagles of Death Metal also were brought up on stage by you two. So this
do I have to buy it, or does it just show up on my phone one morning?
You just won't forgive them for that, will you? Hold a grudge, man.
Grade A douche.
Right? Bean. Actually, I had fun hanging out with Bean this weekend. At the concert. He was lovely.
What's happening right now?
I mean, don't you think?
Oh
no, we lost his
mic.
That's so weird.
Saying the wrong thing.
He was in good spirits. He was lighthearted. He seemed to be having a good time.
Aww.
I enjoyed spending time with you as well, Ralph.
What did you do with Ralph?
I love this.
No, I'm just saying.
It's real nice.
It's fake.
It's all fake. It was a fun afternoon, I think.
Usually I fight to the death.
It was lovely.
Nope.
Bean was in a good mood, and he seemed happy to be there.
There was very little to complain about at this year's Weedy Roast. It was a great show. It was a beautiful day. People were having a good time. Yeah.
Right.
Not that Bean doesn't do his best to find something to complain about, but he couldn't.
He couldn't. He really didn't. Had a good time.
I thought that was really lovely, what I just saw and heard.
Oh, shut up.
Okay.
I'm back.
Thank God.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Danny Trejo.
Machete. This is Machete.
Hello, Machete.
This is Machete.
Give me a taco, Machete.
He's the best.
Have you tried his tacos yet? Have you tried the Trejo's tacos?
No.
Boy, they're good.
I'm not.
He is 72 years old today. I drove by there at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
That
line was all the way down the street.
That was me, Ralph.
To get into
I told that
tacos.
Story earlier. Wow.
I told you to pipe down.
Was it closed?
What?
That was Bean's follow-up earlier.
Machete. Machete. This is Machete.
He's 72. Looks good for 72, by the way.
Yeah.
Boy.
And if he does it, no one's going to tell him.
That's right. You look like crap for your age. Punch. Pierce Brosnan, 63, another guy who's aging well. Chris Novoselic, of Nirvana, is 51. Janet Jackson, she is 50 years old today, and for real. David Boreanaz is 47. Another Philly boy. It's all about Philly boys today. Boreanaz, Philly boy. Me, Philly boy. Bob Saget, Philly boy. How about that? Philly in the house, yo.
That's my John.
That's my John. David, there's no David on
whoever
this.
Whoever we're talking about. Yes. Yeah.
Jason Acuna, Wee Man, 43 years old today. And Megan Fox is 30 years old. She is attractive.
What?
I would gladly look at her bare feet, is what I'm saying.
And was very impressive in her run on The New Girl as well.
Oh, she was terrific on that.
Very funny.
So funny. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Bob Saget just made a Mason Reese reference as he sat down.
Well, you guys put me on a chair today. That was so high, I thought you had a smaller person.
Right. All of the chairs are broken in this room. So.
But what year
but
you're
do
doing
you think
so that... well. You're the number one something.
Yeah.
You're
what everything. Year do you think this is, Bob, that your Mason Reese chuck is going to kill?
I don't know. It wasn't even a chunk.
I don't even know who that was,
I
but
don't
it
either.
Sounded funny to me. So
he was a chunk.
I assumed he was a little dude.
I think he's alive. I think he's doing his thing, whatever that is.
What would I know him from?
Being squat.
He was a little kid who used to do TV commercials.
A funny commercial, kind of like this Year of the Spicy Meatball. That's a spicy meatball commercial.
Okay.
These are great references to promote a comedy
that
show.
That was my point. All right, let's start over, guys. All right, in 3, 2, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Saget joins us in studio now on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is at the Irvine Improv with 2 big shows on Friday night and 2 big shows on Saturday night. Tickets available right now through improv.com. Bob, how have you been, my friend?
I'm really good, and I had a great time with you guys at April Foolishness. So
we're so happy you were there.
I was thrilled to be there. I wanted to hang out more. I mean, it was, but you guys were very, very busy and very popular.
We told you that.
Yep.
We went into another room and just sat on a couch. You did nothing.
You just hung out with Dr. Drew. I didn't get it. He did psychic surgery on me and pulled out my liver, so I don't know. Is he a witch?
I don't think Dr. Drew's a witch.
No.
Have we
ever asked Bean? I don't think he's a witch.
He's in really good physical shape, by the way.
Yeah, he is. He's hunky.
Yeah, I'm working more on my abs lately.
Is that right?
It's just my abs. Everything else I'm letting go to flab. I'm an ugly Mason Reese from the waist up.
About this, Bob, because...
Not a good reference.
You are a guy who has maintained your fighting weight your entire career.
Well,
went through a fat phase.
I did. I was 23 years old, and I had a 38 waist. The joke is... I had a 34 waist, but I've been getting my penis caught in my belt. That was the joke. And by the way, I've been having a problem lately, to be honest. I did gain some weight. I was a little puffy combs the past year.
Okay.
And that was just from, I don't know what it was from. I guess relationship breakup or something. I just
eating your feelings?
Well, I ate my last girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a cannibal.
Okay.
She said, do you want my digits? And I took it literal.
Oh, God.
Sorry. That's the kind of comedy you're going to get, people.
Well, maybe that comedy.
I got Mason Reese and George Burns hunts coming up. But I'm working out hard now to get myself back into a fighting weight because I got a lot to do. I got a bunch of on-camera stuff to do. A lot of security camera videos planned.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go into Saks and start shoplifting.
No,
I want it to look good when they replay.
I am confused by you. Bob Saget, for folks who don't know, is a very busy man. He writes best-selling books. He directs things, and we'll talk about your directing thing that was announced since the last time we had you in. And you're also doing the stand-up all over the place. So, but I don't know anything about anything acting-wise that you're doing. Are you getting ready? You're not getting ready to shoot the new Fuller House already.
Well, I'll be doing that in a couple of months, actually.
Really?
They started shooting, and I'm
so
doing...
So no script, I guess.
I know it's going to be like The Simpsons. We're just going to Mad Libs it. But I'll be an outside voice, like on How I Met Your Mother. I'm going to narrate it from a space station like John Hurt in Contact. I want to do more references that only you two guys get. But
stay on target.
I'm doing 3. I can do this. You want me to go to Target?
No.
Oh, are they a sponsor?
No.
Dr. Pepper is because I have it in the car.
Here we go.
Okay.
I got it free last time I was here. I'm doing 3 of the Fuller Houses in this new season that just started. And people just ate it right up. I mean, they put
loved
their
it.
7-year-old in the room, left it alone, just binge-watched it, didn't care about the kid. And that's all you need to watch the Tanner family get older.
I guess I was just so surprised to see that they're doing they're filming the new season so soon. It's a pretty quick turnaround.
Well,
congratulations.
Thank you. It was really, we're the legacy cast, they call us. They just bring us out of dry ice. And Stamos is at the helm of that.
and Jeff Franklin and Bob Boyette, who made the show. And 1 week after they released the Netflix 13 episodes, Netflix picked it up right away. And that's not the network world that we've ever been accustomed to. No. You sit, you wait, and then you find out you're on the bubble. And that just means, I think, you have a hemorrhoid. I don't know what it means. It means you're not going to happen.
And then you find out that you've been canceled on Twitter or from somebody else.
Oh, you're reading the trades. Yeah. Although people don't read anymore.
Yeah.
Speaking of your good friend, Mr. Stamos.
Yeah.
We were really, really bummed out about Grandfather.
I am seriously upset
too.
About
makes
it.
No sense.
And
makes
he
no
is, sense. And I've been talking to him a lot. He's been on vacation and having a good time. But it's and he's such he's kind of metaphysical about the whole thing because that's how you have to be. You can't let yourself get hit. But the cast is all such a great cast, and it's such a nice show. And Dan Fogelman ran a great show, and I even guest starred on it. And it really had another year to prove that it could be a hit.
It should have. And here's my whole thing.
I agree.
Look,
so much.
I get that it's tough to get eyeballs on a network TV show. I get that no show is going to be a 20 million person show or a 15 million viewer show anymore. I get that. And I know that there are a lot of shows that are performing about the same. But I think what ought to be the deciding factor is, hey, is this show good?
You're right. And that's
the difference is that this show was really good, and I think it would have found an audience had it been allowed to stay on the air.
You're 100% right, because back in the days when they didn't really have all numbers because there were only four stations, they would let a show stay on because they thought it was special. Like Full House, it was special, but it was, for the first 4 years it didn't get numbers, and they tried to run it twice a week to get people to like it, so it was a failure. Seinfeld was not a hit in the beginning. So, I mean, this is a show that really had legs, and there were Johns, and they were good. And they're smooth. I mean, on my chin, I don't even feel them.
Whoa.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to mention that I've had a problem lately, and I wanted to share it with you guys. Break the story first.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think you're sharing too much.
Ralph said I could say it.
Oh, all right. Okay. You ran a bio.
Well, you talked
great
about,
barometer right there.
And he had headphones on. I don't think he heard me.
Okay. Good.
But, you know, you were talking about feet on a plane and things like that.
Right.
You know, barefoot and stuff. I have a syndrome, and I went to my doctor about it, and I have restless penis syndrome is what I have. It can't. It's
it
never
just won't sit still?
Never fully at rest. And I don't know what to do about it. I tried to put a brace on it.
Uh-huh.
I used duct tape.
Right.
That hurts.
Yeah, don't do that.
I don't know what to do. It keeps me up at night. I actually
have
tweeted
you seen a doctor?
I have, and he couldn't keep his hands off it. He just I don't think he was a doctor.
Did he have a white van outside of a Vons parking lot?
Well, I was at a bus station.
Bus station. Okay.
A station, because I go to bus stations because I'm trying to get people by the minions. So that's one of the problems I have. And I have another problem. I woke up this morning.
Okay.
I'm not going to sing a song from the 60s because Mason Reese has already dated everything I've said.
Right.
I dated Mason Reese, by the way. I don't know. It's early.
Pull it together, son. Insane.
I love you guys. I don't know what to do.
Pull it together.
And also, I have not been to therapy in 2 weeks. So the point is,
how often do you go to therapy? Can you imagine being Bob's therapist?
No, it'd be exhausting.
It'd be like an airplane when Robert Hayes is another great reference, but when Robert Hayes is trying to tell a story and the woman hangs herself next to him, you know, you just can't set yourself on fire.
Hey, Bob, I have a serious question because
you
opened the door for this line by mentioning therapy. And that is, are you able to be serious? Can you turn it off, or is your mind so in the groove of finding the funny and everything that you can't tell a story to your therapist, for instance, something that's supposed to be private and personal without going off on a tangent and making a funny about it?
Actually, I'm pretty serious. One of the things I learned through the past 15 years of or 10 years really of therapy is to put it into spaces where it belongs, whether it's here on stage, in a comedy show. But when I was doing that play in New York, Broadway show, Hand of God, that was a very serious part. I was a Lutheran pastor trying to get the devil out of a kid. And you can't crack and you don't.
But those thoughts must flood through mind.
Not when I'm acting.
That's interesting.
And not when I'm in therapy and not when I have anything happening with a family member in crisis. I mean, I've lost a couple friends this year. I was incapable with a couple of the losses this year of making any jokes. I was the guy that comedians were coming over to going, are you okay, man? So, I'm very, very sensitive. And I think that's why
I find you so attractive.
Doesn't last long, though, does it?
He can't do it.
Well, I'm supposed to be funny now.
Okay.
All right.
Bob Saget is here, author, actor, director, comedian. You can see him on stage Friday night, two shows at the Irvine Improv, and then Saturday night as well. Get your tickets at improv.com. 21 and up, please. More with Bob in a moment.
But fake IDs available.
Correct.
As you know, Bean works from home, and Bob was just talking to him off the air by walking over to a speaker that's hanging from the ceiling and started talking to the speaker.
I was like a guy looking for a friend.
It was troubling.
I feel detached from you, Bean. So I walked up to the speaker.
To the speaker.
It was so strange.
It was weird. It was very weird. It's like he was talking to a scarecrow or something. Anyway, the great Bob Saget is here in town this weekend at the Irvine Improv. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Improv.com. 21 and up.
And I've got my friend Mike Young opening for me, and he directed a movie called A Stand-Up Guy and another one called My Man is a Loser. And we're writing something together, which is good. And it's not a letter. It's actually a project.
Speaking of future projects, Bob, I was surprised to see the word on Jake.
Yes, I'm excited about this thing. We have our investors, which has been 4 years I've been attached as a director and an actor on this independent movie. And it's hard to make an independent movie. It's hard to make any movie, obviously.
We hear that a lot. We hear that a lot from our guests.
It's 4 years. And so it looks like all I got to do is get it in the bank, and then we start making calls. We're supposed to shoot in September. That's the idea.
This looks like a very serious movie.
It's a dark comedy. It's about a young boy, 15-year-old, that the family believes is on meth. And so they call an intervention, but they call it on Facebook. So it's
you have to be invited.
But it's so public, you know. So the 10 people that show up aren't exactly the people that can help this person. And it's kind of led by the family gynecologist, who's not really a doctor.
Okay,
but he is legally one. So it's a dark comedy, and it has obviously serious themes in it. And it's about.
And what role do you play?
I'm the father.
Father, okay.
Of the kid. And
so
I'm,
you're the one making all the terrible decisions.
I am a jittery dad at best. I am linear, but I'm losing it because it's a scary thing.
And you directed two movies before, right?
I directed, actually, if you include the TV movies I made, and not for Spectravision, I made
another good reference. Wow. Spectravision, everybody.
Not for the
Bob's bringing it hard today. you did the Farce of the Penguins.
I did Farce of the Penguins,
and you did Dirty Work. I directed Dirty Work,
and I did a TV movie about my sister having scleroderma called For Hope for ABC, and I directed a thing called Jitters on Lifetime in a movie called Becoming Dick on the E! Channel, which was like a $3.5 million movie for the E! Channel. They made movies for a minute.
Wow. And it was called Becoming Dick?
Yeah.
Was it about your restless penis syndrome?
No, but close. It would star Harlan Williams, Elizabeth Berkley, who's half Yiddish, and Robert Wagner, and Ed Asner, and Michael Moriarty, and all these people in Canada. We shot it, and it was very funny. It was about a guy, Harlan Williams, got hit on the head with a People's Choice Award, and he had been a terrible, terrible person on his sitcom. But after he got hit on the head, he forgot what a jerk he'd been, and he wanted to retrace his whole life. And Robert Wagner's his butler, and I'm promoting something that no one will ever see.
How are you as a director?
I love directing. I'm very quiet. I listen really well. I'm the opposite of this high octane fool that I am, and it's different than stand up. Obviously, it's completely different everything. And acting and directing is I've done it before, but this will be a bigger thing for me to do because it's one of the leads and the director. And it's a
congratulations on
what if you suck as an actor and then as a director, what do you do with yourself?
Well, Billy Crystal used to have a joke, you know, you fire yourself, you got to replace yourself.
That's crazy, Bob. When you made Dirty Work, which if I recall correctly, was not a big hit at the time, but became a cult favorite, right?
It is. It was a 15-year-old boy's fantasy movie. Now, like 40-year-old guys come up and go, that was my favorite movie.
Yeah.
There's a line Chris Farley had, and it was his last movie, beautiful Chris Farley, and I think I can say this. Hold the button.
Give it a try.
It's got a word of what a prostitute would be called.
Okay, go ahead. You can say whore.
Okay, thank you. He goes, Chris Farley had his nose bitten off by a Saigon whore. That's the premise. His character's name is Jimmy No-Nose. And this is written by Norm MacDonald and Fred Wolf and Frank Sebastiano. And so Chris Farley would seize her and goes, there's the Saigon whore that bit my nose off.
And I won't give it away, but he gets back together with her.
Oh,
you know,
that's sweet.
Once you have that kind of intimacy. But it was, right. It was.
Well, the reason I think I thought that movie was very funny, too. But the reason I bring it up is this is why. Is it, maybe it's the same as an actor, too. But you put so much time and effort and sweat and blood and tears and hard work and hours into making a movie.
And then they rub their butt on you.
And then it comes out, though. And then it comes out.
Right.
And does all – I mean, if it doesn't hit, if it doesn't play the way you thought it would.
Well, we had a big thing happen. Norm and I actually went to all the theaters in L.A., and it was killing. We were in Century City. We went to Hollywood. Come on, Saga, let's go. We went to all these theaters, and we went, oh, we got a hit. We're so excited. And the next morning, the producer, Robert Simons, called me and said, I'm really sorry, buddy. And I didn't know what was going on. I thought we had a hit because we were in theaters. But that it didn't track. But what MGM had done, if you see a poster for your movie and it says coming soon, you got a problem.
Uh-oh.
You know, so there's no date. And that particular weekend was Michael Jordan's last week with the Bulls. And it's a movie made for 15-year-old boys, really.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of MGM, the joke I have is that they told me I owe them $30 million personally. But I'm really proud of it. And everybody
it really has held up. Yeah.
It's and incredibly funny people. A lot of great people did cameos, like Adam Sandler and Don Rickles, the amazing Don Rickles.
By the way, did you go to Rickles' birthday party? Isn't he did just turn 90, right?
He did. He didn't have a birthday party. I'm going to dinner with him. My birthday is tomorrow, and I'm going to dinner with him on Thursday.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Not to name drop myself and him. But I actually, last time I went to dinner with him and his wife, Barbara, and they've been married 60 years, she went to the ladies' room, and I reached – it was just the three of us, and I reached over to Don, and I said, you got to get out of this. And he does not laugh. He is not
he
an easy audience.
Oh, really? So when he laughs, you know you nailed it.
Oh, he just –
There are very few from his generation that are still alive, and Don Rickles is not only still alive, he's still hilarious, right?
He is beautiful.
Because we hear that from Kimmel all the time, is you just – it's such a joy just to be around him.
Yeah.
We've all been
out to dinner together, and he'll go, what's the matter with you? What are you, a big star? You know, we were at a dinner one night. It was with Stamos and the Kimmels, and Ryan Gosling was there, and all Don did was go, well, you're too big a star. You got to wear a sweater. You know, it doesn't even matter what he's saying. It's just he grabs me. He's done this a few times to me. Comes up to you sotto voce like in The Godfather and whispers in your ear, I don't miss you at all. But he does it in a room full of a lot of people just to let you know that you just – and it's not – and he's always like, why do you have to talk so blue? Why do you talk like that? Now I get calls from Bob Newhart at like 10 in the morning. He goes, hi, Bob. It's Bob Newhart. Why do you have to talk so blue? I'm going, well, it's 9, 10 in the morning. I'm still asleep. And they said, who's that comedian that I love that talks about the 99-cent store? I can't remember, but I really liked him. We talked about it, and we realized it was Wayne Fetterman, who's been doing stand-up a long time. And so I just plugged Wayne Fetterman, who's a very funny guy.
He's a great writer.
He'll be appearing somewhere. He is a great writer.
He's a great writer.
And he's a hilarious guy.
Yes.
And I think you need to write another book, Bob.
I think you're right, because I think – no one wants to talk to me anymore.
Now, do you bring your guitar to every show?
I do. They get me one.
They
That's what's
one.
Happened.
Well, this That's in your writer this now?
It is always. It's been my writer for a while. It's been my Kevin writer. But I have a God, you don't have a rim shot ready, do you?
No.
Don't
no,
have
wait,
don't
do you have a rim shot?
No. I got one. Yeah. I'm ready. I'm standing by.
Okay, so what happened is I...
Oh, not yet. I'm sorry. That was my bad. That one's on
timing.
Me.
That's, it sounded like Gene Krupa's OD. I don't know what that was. That was a drummer, by the way, back in the day. And he had a drug problem.
Know.
Terrible drug problem.
Okay.
But none of his offspring are alive, so I'm safe to say that's how old the reference is. You know what?
The question was about your guitar that
when
they
I worked
for
with Fanny Bryce. yeah, they get me guitars. They get me a Taylor guitar because Taylor gave me – I like their simple. It's three little knobs, which is how I like my women. And I just plug it in how I like my women. And there's a G-spot right in the middle of those other strings. But they have it waiting for me at the gig. And this is – the Irvine Improv is all rebuilt, so it's a 600-room place. So
600 rooms?
600 rooms.
That's crazy. It's a big place.
It's actually for each person?
It's a Radisson. No, I meant it's a 600. You know what I meant.
I do know what you meant, but
I'm so foolish.
You
it's
didn't
my first
say it well.
Real faux pas.
All right. Listen.
600 people.
It's only your first real faux pas because I have no idea what you've said up until now.
Yes, you do. All you're going to come away with this is Mason Reese.
Hey, Bob, we are told you need to be in the car leaving the parking lot in 58 seconds. So we're going to say goodbye to you right now. Bob Saget of the Irvine Improv. Don't miss him. Two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night with guitarimprov.com. We love you, man. Thanks so much
for
coming in.
I love you, too. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That, of course, is the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Dark Necessities.
Weenie behind us, on to the next one, Blink 182, along with the Day to Remember an all-time low. They're playing Irvine the end of September, October 1st at the Forum. You can win your tickets in the fifth row, as I understand it, coming up right after Ralph's Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
It is Monday, so we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Captain America Civil War, once again, number one, $72.6 million in its second weekend, dominated the box office. Next closest film was Jungle Book with $17.8 million, a distant second. Money Monster, the new George Clooney film, $15 million in its debut, made it number three. The Darkness, movie Kevin saw over the weekend, $5.2 million in its debut, made it number four. Then Mother's Day at number five, Zootopia, The Huntsman, Winter's War, Keanu, Barbershop, The Next Cut, and The Boss, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. A lot of brouhaha at the Cannes Film Festival over the weekend. News broke that Lady Gaga would be one of the stars of the new biographical film based on the life of Dionne Warwick.
Oh.
She would play Cilla Black in the film.
Okay.
And then her representatives came out the next day and said, Lady Gaga is not going to do any film about Dionne Warwick and she won't be playing that.
That's weird.
Then later, Dionne Warwick said, yes, she is. And Lady Gaga said, no, I'm not. And then Dionne Warwick came out and
What's happening?
Her music representatives know about the deal. Maybe her film agent doesn't know, but their music people know. So apparently she is doing it.
Her movie people that need to know?
Yeah, it's a big confusion. But, huh. So there you go. Lady Gaga is going to be in a movie.
Or not.
Probably.
Or not.
Or not. Maybe or maybe not.
I sure used to love that Dionne Warwick until I saw her on a Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, she's kind of horrible.
She really is a bad person.
This Cilla Black that I'm talking about, she was also a singer in around the same era when Dionne Warwick became a big star in the 60s. And they had a huge rivalry. They actually did a cover of they had a song that they shared. They both did a version of it. And Cilla Black's version eclipsed Dionne Warwick's version in sales and stuff. And when asked on Friday about this woman and why they were at odds with each other, Dionne said, it's because she stole my music. So she's charming, even at 72. She's a charming, charming lady. LaToya Luckett from Destiny's Child is going to play Dionne Warwick, apparently, in the movie.
Or not. We don't know.
Or
I'm
not
sure
this
of any
movie
of
may never happen. We don't know.
May not be a movie.
I think you're right. It may not indeed. Today's celebrity birthdays, Danny Trejo, 72 years old today.
This is Machete.
Machete.
This is Machete.
Machete.
This is Machete.
Make you a taco. It's not as tough when he's making tacos now. It's a little tougher when he's carrying a machete. Not so
he's
tough.
On that that Rudy Cisneros show from our friend Mike Catherwood.
I can't wait
to see that.
Pierce Brosnan, 63 years old today. Chris Novoselic, 51. Janet Jackson, she is for real. Lee, 50 years old today.
When can we
jettison don't even ask.
The outcast comedy.
David Boreanaz of Bones fame is 47 years
old. I
love
when Kevin says jettison.
Thank you.
Jason Acuna, Wee Man. He's 43. And Megan.
Got his new Showtime special, Fun Size, coming
up.
Nope, that's
Brad Williams. Different
coming up,
fella.
Very funny comedian.
Not
played Foolishness a bunch of times.
Not him at
really?
All.
They look exactly
different
the same.
Man, separate person. And Megan Fox is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show
is
Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:36.
How about one more look at the showbiz beat here before we get on out of here for a Monday? Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Good morning, boys and girls. It is a Monday morning, so we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Try to get a feel for what people are looking at in the movie theaters. Captain America Civil War continues to be the king. $72.6 million in its second weekend, made it number one at the box office by far. The closest was $17.8 million. Behind that was Jungle Book. Money Monster debuted to $15 million. Made it number three. I wonder if Julia Roberts is barefoot in it. Wouldn't it be hot?
Dave won't go. Dave won't go see it.
She's walking around all barefoot in that movie. Oh, put your feet away, people. The Darkness was fourth, $5.2 million in its debut. Mother's Day was fifth, and Zootopia, The Huntsman, Winter's War, Keanu, Barbershop, The Next Cut, and The Boss were your top 10 films. Last night on television, The Simpsons made a little animation history. The first ever live animated television program. Not the whole episode, just a little piece of it. At the end of the episode, they put aside 3 minutes and had Dan Castellaneta, the legendary voice of Homer, dressed up in a motion capture suit, and he took phone calls from fans and improvised answers as Homer Simpson to those fans, while the on-screen Homer reacted the way he was reacting while they were filming it.
I love that.
Interesting experiment. They did it live for the East Coast and then did a brand new live version for the West Coast as well, just to keep it on the up and up. And it was hit or miss, like improvisation can be. But for the most part, I thought it was pretty cool. Here's a little taste of the East Coast live Simpsons last night.
And to prove that we're live, on Saturday Night Live, last night, Drake was terrible. Now to take your calls. Amanda?
If you can give me any tips or tricks for making it look like I'm hard at work, but really I'm relaxing or taking a nap.
Always wear glasses with eyes glued onto them. Next question. George, I think. Hello, George. Yeah.
Hello, Homer.
What's your question?
So my question is pizza-related. Do you prefer pizza? Chicago deep dish or New York style?
Let's see. I prefer Chicago deep dish because I like Italian better than Chinese.
Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever. That one answer. So like I said, it was hit and miss, but it was an interesting experiment.
I don't even understand that.
No one does. It's madness. Ruby Rose, you know her from Orange is the New Black? She got a little trouble over the weekend in New Orleans.
She's pretty.
She is pretty, yes. Wow. She, however, I think would be less interested in you than even most women.
That's not possible, first of all.
I think it is.
I understand what you're saying. Yes.
She's a lesbian.
Yeah, we got it.
I think, I'm just saying.
All women have the exact same
right,
response to be.
But Ruby Rose maybe even more so.
I got you.
If that's possible. She was at a bar in New Orleans called the Rebellion Bar and Urban Kitchen. You familiar with it, Kevin? I know you're a big New Orleans fan. Is that a famous joint?
I don't know that place.
Rebellion Bar and Urban Kitchen. She was there waiting for her food, and apparently it was not coming quick enough. She threw a tantrum over the delay, so they gave her some free drinks and appetizers to try to calm her down. That was not good enough, so she took her French fries and she threw them in the bartender's face and told the owner of the bar
who does
she
that?
Would kick his ass if she was just a little bit bigger.
That's not much of a threat.
Not really. I'm going to use that one next time. Some big guy bumps into me at a bar. I would kick your ass if I was capable of it, if I was large and strong.
I would
murder you.
Shoot you if I had a gun.
That's right. The owner said, despite all this, Ruby Rose is horrible and awful. And it's the first time he's ever had to ask someone to leave his establishment.
You got a problem, lady.
That kind of a behavior will get you thrown in the hole. She better be careful, man.
She's not solitary. Not actually a prisoner.
If they find that out, they're gonna. She'll never get paroled, right?
She's not in. She's not
go
in prison.
Inside for a long time with that kind of behavior.
She's not an actual inmate.
You better be on your best behavior because they cut. You know, you get out early for good behavior, not for bad behavior.
Netflix show.
So she should know the difference between those two things. Throwing French fries, that'll get you. You'll get your privileges revoked.
Wrong.
I will pay for the legal fees, I promise.
I like a band called The Cure. How about you?
Same.
Yes.
The Cure.
Yes.
A legendary K-rock band. They are going to be performing at the Hollywood Bowl on May 24th.
That's right around the corner.
Right around the corner. Mere days away. And if you'd like to attend this concert, well, why wouldn't you? Chance to see The Cure live at the Hollywood Bowl. Great venue, great band. Here is your last chance to get some Cure tickets. How about, since it's May 24th, caller number 24 right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 24 at that phone number will get a pair of tickets to see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl.
That's way too generous of you, Ralph.
Well, look, I'm in a good mood. We had a good weenie roast over the weekend. I want to thank Michael, one of our listeners, who pointed out earlier in the show, I said,
This may have been my favorite weenie. I loved it from top to bottom.
Wow.
Yeah.
You did?
And, out of context, okay. Out of context, that particular phrase may have been taken another way.
We're don't not, write that down, Chip. We're not the kind of people that like to take stuff out
that'll,
of context.
That'll
though.
Make you pay for having said something
yeah,
over and over again.
Yeah, that's not this kind of show, you know.
Yeah, so I think everyone,
we're here for you, man.
Everyone knew what I was talking about.
Sure. That time.
It gave me a boner.
Oh.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, stop doing that.
Yeah, I'm you
tired.
Can stop,
stop
that.
Stop doing what you're
very
doing.
Tired.
Too much.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Danny Trejo is 72 years old today.
This is Machete.
Hello, Machete. I would like a soft taco.
Chicken Machete.
Chicken. Extra guacamole. Machete.
He was given an offer he couldn't refuse.
I'm going to go into Trejo's Tacos today and order like that.
I want two soft tacos. Rice and beans. No cabbage. Gives me gas.
Will you Facebook Live that so we can all see you get beat up?
Sure, absolutely.
Enjoy that.
They won't beat me up. I'll say, I'd kick your ass if I was larger. If I was more handy with my fisticuffs. Pierce Brosnan, 63 years old today. Chris Novoselic of Nirvana, 51 years old today. Janet Jackson.
Ooh.
She is for real. And 50 and pregnant.
Right?
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 Right. Doctors say because of her advanced age, she will probably have a teenager.
You know how ladies can get.
Allie, I would kick your ass if I was bigger.
You're too tired, too.
David Boreanaz is 47 years old. Jason Acuna, you may not know that name. He is Wee Man from Jackass. So, Acuna Matata.
Wow. All right,
we're just
stop.
Punchy. Let's
just
go.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Come on, I got one more. Just hold on. Hold your water.
I'm with the bad man. Stop doing what you're doing.
Actress Megan Fox celebrates her 30th
birthday. Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Hi.
Have you ever seen Megan Fox in the reels?
In person? No, I have not.
In the wild? I don't think so.
I have.
It's an unnerving experience.
It's almost like she's see-through. She's that pretty. She can't be real.
But what about her weird thumbs, as Dave would ask?
No one's
Dave's
looking
dumb.
At her thumbs, first
Remember
of all.
Dave used to always complain yeah. about her? She wasn't perfect because something was wrong with her thumbs?
She's otherworldly.
It's a disturbing experience because she's so radiantly beautiful that it feels odd. You feel like it does. It feels like you're just
it's too much.
It's the whole universe is vibrating a little bit out of sync because you can't believe that that's happening right in front of your face.
I get that a lot.
Yeah, you make the universe vibrate out of sync, that's for sure, but a completely different reason. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win today with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Woohoo!
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, W. Kamau Bell joins us. Dr. Sadie.
W. Kamau Bell!
That's not the same person. Different guy.
W. Kamau Bell!
Different guy. Dr. Sadie Allison will be on the program tomorrow. And we have tickets for the LA Galaxy. We have tickets for The Cure. We have tickets for Blink 182 in the fourth row tomorrow morning.